This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Byram out of the corner, Kulik up top, scores! What a shot! Jiří Kulik! And it's 5-1 Buffalo.
Jiří Kulik had two goals last night as the Sabres went away winning. They scored on their first shot, and they didn't really stop from there. 7-3 against Pittsburgh last night. A fun little time there if you were at the arena for... It was Pride Night there as well. Based on how they played, make every night Pride Night. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to put up seven goals.
If you're going to put up seven goals every time, yeah, just keep it going. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. Josh Schmidt on the board here with us as well, providing the tunes, the highlights, and the inside look of a goaltender's mind. So...
That's nice. Thank you for that. It's a good contribution.
If you're wondering what it looks like, it's just a hamster on a wheel. At least mine is, anyway. I don't want to discredit anyone else out there.
Hamster on the wheel.
Yeah. But anyway. Sabres, though, going away winning last night and coming into one of their most frustrating phases, which is they're out of playoff contention and they're looking cool again.
Water's wet.
We're back again.
Yes. It's one of their most frustrating traits.
The sun, in fact, rose today. I know the clouds are kind of covering it.
Hot take, water's not wet. It makes things wet.
Goodness.
We don't have time for this. Because we promised John that we would get to him, and we have a chance to do that here.
So let's start the segment off.
Let's start the segment off with John in Buffalo. John, how you doing? Welcome to the Extra Point Show.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're hanging. We're vibing.
Might be 50 today, so I'm excited.
I just have a couple quick comments, personal observations as I watch the Sabres this year. Mm-hmm. I think their main problem is when they're in a 5-on-5 situation and the other team has the puck in our end, we go into this zone defense and the other team just keeps passing the puck back to their point men freely. We can't get the puck out of our own end. I don't know how you guys feel about that. And the other thing I think the problem is, this is more of a player problem, just sloppy passing. Took a little more time to pass instead of just trying to get it out of their end, and the other team intercepts it. I'm fine with Lindy Ruff, the office. I don't know much about those guys. The players, they're good players. You know, and they're exciting to watch. But, you know, if they could just stop playing zone defense in your own end. I see the better teams in the league, they'll charge the man and they'll stay with them. They stay closer to the players and they get the puck away from them. But we can't do that. It's almost like we have a 4-on-5 situation. But I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks for letting me talk.
John, I appreciate the call. And to go off of it, sometimes when you're playing a zone set, you need to have discipline. And if you suddenly start chasing the puck, then it is heavily compromised. And all it takes is one mental gaffe from someone to have that opening caused. And that's where a lot of high danger chances are going to start stemming from, is someone sees an opportunity to try to get the puck, and the next thing you know, it's over like that. The other way it happens is if a forward is not doing his due diligence up top, that's when the point man is going to have time and space.
Yeah.
And in the NHL, time and space is very unrecognizable at times. But you see it on a play like Rozane getting the puck at the top of the zone yesterday. He sees Matias Samuelsson creeping. How does that happen? There's a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Someone does not recognize that they need to go with him. And Samuelsson, in the circle, all by himself, gets a beautiful pass. And Samuelsson's able to bury this thing. It's breakdowns. Breakdowns happen. These guys are human. You're going to be taught something and then go, oh, I have a chance.
Yeah, it does, you know, I don't really have the stats to point this out, but it does appear that that happens a lot for the Sabres. They break down, what have you. I remember last year.
It takes discipline, and sometimes
it takes a lot
you
of
need
discipline.
To have that.
I remember, too, just when they traded for Bo Byram,
yeah,
and when he first came over, and how the power play.
Yes.
You saw how radically he had changed them just from coming over to Colorado and still doing those things. Him constantly moving on the power play and the crisp passing and such, and just the constant danger chances. I think that's a big part of the Sabres, too. They stand still too much.
Yes.
And that, I think, is where you get breakdowns on the 5-on-5, the zone defense, what have you. I mean, in terms of goals against per game, they're fourth in the league.
They have the speed.
The teams that only beat them are San Jose, Pittsburgh, and Chicago.
They have the speed to operate a little bit more of a man style. But again, if you're chasing,
mm-hmm,
breakdowns happen. And in man, you're going to be chasing.
Yeah.
You are going to be. It is a guarantee. You have a player, and what happens if you lose that player?
Yep, and then you see breakdowns really across.
You're talking about goaltender's got a one-on-one situation all of a sudden in the slot, and he's not winning that.
No, and that's where you also bring up like the goaltender situation they have now, where that's where you got to make a save. Like I know they didn't put you in a good spot. You got to make a save, and they haven't had a lot of those opportunities go their way this year. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen kind of has fallen off.
On your penalty kill, your best defender has to be your goaltender. I'm not saying that to, like, make this of some sort of, like, hindsight comment. That is the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Your best defender on a penalty kill needs to be your goalie, because there is going to be someone open. There is going to be a beautiful look out there. There is going to be an opportune chance that comes, because you have to stay disciplined, and they're going to find an opening if you don't.
Yep.
That said, your goaltender needs to be better when you're shorthanded. That's why they've had such problems with it this year, is because of the fact that they're not getting that goaltending. Last year they did. The penalty kill was not on the high list, the long list of problems last year. Power play is.
Yeah. Buffalo
but the
this year
kill was not.
Buffalo this year has found themselves in the penalty kill 215 times. That's good for tied fourth in the league. Their penalty kill percentage, though, kind of says a lot with the teams they're with. 76.7%. The highest of this group is the Rangers at 81%. So, they go on the penalty kill. It's not like they're getting scored on every single time.
No.
But it is one of the lower ones in the league. Carolina leads the league at 84.6%. Buffalo's towards the bottom, but not at the bottom. They're kind of more towards.
But if you're towards the bottom, you cannot take the most penalty minutes in the league.
Yeah, because
that is where they are. They have the most penalty minutes in the league. The fact that they're 21st based on how they play is actually, I'm not going to say a good thing, but like you could be a lot worse than that with the amount of times that you have this. Their power play, oh man, I looked at that percentage and it made me depresso.
The power play percentage?
Yes.
That's like, something too, and to John's point, bringing up the passing,
that's something that has bothered me where, yeah, you do see a lot of teams just kind of be very aggressive towards the Sabres and force bad passes. They have bad passes often.
There was one, Peterka made one at the on the power play last night, and it was like, oh, that's not good.
Did they go 0 for 4 last night?
They did. McLeod had one that could have gone horribly wrong. He gets a pass from Dahlin, and it looks like he wants McLeod, who's open, to skate that thing in. He stops at the blue line, tries to make a pass to Dahlin, and it's intercepted, and Reimer has to make a big save.
Nice to get a save every now and then.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Buffalo Sabres, they haven't allowed the most amount of shorthanded goals, but you see it every time where it's like, yeah, this is not good. Do you know who has given up the most shorthanded goals this year? The New York Rangers. 14.
Huh. How many have the Sabres given up to you?
Six.
Oh, wow. I would have assumed that number was way higher.
Yeah. The Rangers have given up 14 of them.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
By the way, on the penalty kill stat, I do want to bring this up here. So the lowest percentage is Detroit, 68.8%. I've also only been on the penalty kill 167 times, which I want to see if that is the lowest in the league. That is near the lowest in the league. That's fourth lowest. Seattle, 165. The Islanders, 155. And everyone's favorite villain, Vegas, 145.
Everyone's favorite villain.
I wish my favorite team operated like Las Vegas. I don't really care how people feel about that. I wish they did. I'm all about win. Let's go. If you're going to make some other teams in opposite sides of the coast upset,
hang
so
on.
Be it.
It's nice that they were put in a position to be able to just win.
I agree.
That's the part that, like, yeah, it's great they were able to operate like that, but you kind of got lucky on that front too.
Oh, absolutely. But they also they tasted a little bit of success in that first year and have basically been like
they tasted a lot of success.
We are now defined by that forever.
Yeah. They made the cup final their first year.
Also, Steve tweets in, I'm a positive person to a fault, but I have seen some signs of change with the Sabres and Kevin Adams. Resigning Greenway and Zucker without a huge overpay is not the norm. Guys are also developing in the AHL and not forced into NHL roles like the past. Now, this is going to be, I think, a big thing throughout the offseason. Now go sign Marner.
Go sign Mitch Marner. As a matter of fact, something that I said with Brian Colziel on Saturday, Brian made the pitch on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Bring Josh Allen with you. Marner's a noted Bills fan.
He's a known Bills fan. So
bring Josh Allen with you to talk to Mitch Marner and go, just look at what this guy is in this city because they're good.
I was going to say, I think he can overall just be a really good recruiting tool in the fact of, like, look what happens when you're good.
Now, that said, ready?
Beloved.
People will say, detractors will say, but he's soft. He plays a soft style.
Mm-hmm.
He's too flashy of a guy. I don't care. You're a top five in the league scoring threat. Available for the top dollar. Get him.
I think also for me too.
Get him and don't apologize for it.
I'll deal with the playoff issues with Marner and stuff like that.
By making the playoffs.
A few times. Like I don't want to like have to start thinking about like not only just making the playoffs, but like winning a cup. Like, they've got to break this drought. They've got to get over this hump before we start talking about a cup or anything like that. So for me, like if you overpay for Marner, whatever, you're going to have to get guys like him anyways.
And
that
Brian
is what it
and
is.
I, we had a really nice discussion leading into the Sabres game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They would prompt to put up an ugly game, but you know that's neither here nor there. But we had a really nice discussion about how even ownership can try to start being looked at in another favorable light about. Remember how Pegula went on an airplane and flew out to talk to Robin Regier to waive a no-trade clause from Calgary?
Mm-hmm.
Just do something like that again. Just be publicly seen as, you know, hey, we're going to bring Josh Allen with us on the recruiting trail for Mitchell Marner. Awesome. You go ahead and sign Mitch Marner. That also tells fans alone, you're serious.
Yes, that's right.
You actually do care about this team because that's the perception. I don't think it's true. Man is a hockey fan first. But it's something that people have an opinion of, and I don't blame them for it because the optics do not look good on him very often with the Sabres. It was his birthday yesterday. I got to tell you, Bill's admin was probably over the moon having to post that. Sabres admin, not so much.
Did not look at the comments.
Sabres admin posted that and walked away until it was game day.
Yep, I'm going to go take an early lunch.
He's like, I have... I have to make sure I tweet about this game tonight. I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to take a break.
I am going to leave no one
yeah.
tell me if I get notifications.
And that's the duality of ownership with Terry mm-hmm. Pegula.
Yep.
Like, even the Bandits admin. Hey, happy birthday, Pegula. Yeah. Thanks for having one of the best lacrosse teams. There's one fan base that really wants to go after this man, and I don't blame them for it.
Yeah.
But just make sure you're coming correct. That's all. Because there's a lot of reasons to have ire toward Pegula as
mm-hmm.
a Sabres fan.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you're using the right ones.
It feels like every offseason the last three, 4 years, yeah, the last three, four offseasons have been like the most important. But like for me, I think now I would probably, if I were ownership, I'd fire Kevin Adams. If you're asking me.
Yes.
You've gotten 5 years and they're bottom of the conference. You're out. You're done. This does feel like a moment with guys like Marner potentially being out there. And the fact that, I mean, if you're going to get another shot at this, which it appears to be true because he was able to trade away a core piece that he had signed to a contract on trade deadline day, damn the Torpedoes, go for it, man. Honestly, go yes. for it.
Go for it.
What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose?
You get a
5 years
like Marner,
and nothing. You're not getting another general manager's position in the NHL. Go for it.
Yes. And ready? Going for it for a player like Marner in free agency is different than a desperate general manager having to make a trade
mm-hmm.
in the offseason. Because if there's a last stand general manager making a trade, it's typically disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even with free agent signings. However, you sign a player like Marner, you also have a valuable tool now for potential recruiting. If you succeed in signing Marner, you then get to say, yeah, kind of like Columbus did with Johnny Gaudreau. Yeah, big name player. Wanted to sign here. Things are not totally gone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And while tragedy did strike with Gaudreau, the Columbus Blue Jackets, though, in that moment, it was a monumental moment for the franchise.
Yeah.
Someone chose here. Someone chose to come to Columbus. That was a big deal. Not just because of the type of player that Johnny Gaudreau was. It was also, there was other money being thrown around, and he chose that place.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. And if Marner were to sign with the Sabres, you're sending a similar message.
Yeah, it doesn't matter like how much you end up spending. It's the fact that you would get the notification from all of the insiders and then eventually the Sabres. Mitch Marner signing with the Sabres for whatever, that changes the temperature
for
in the room.
For buku bucks, cuckoo yeah. for Cocoa Puffs, but who cares?
I mentioned a lot with football how much the quarterback changes the temperature in the room. A guy like that would do it as well.
Because you're also telling your team right now, mm-hmm. hey, this is it. We believe in you. We got this player. This is the same message I said 2 years ago, and it's the same message I'm going to profess now. You sign a player to add to this core, add to the core. You're telling the players in the locker room that you said the answers are there.
Yeah.
You're telling those players, you are the answer. We've added someone to help you. Let's go. Time is now. It's time is now or never, actually. Because if we can't do it with this, what the hell are we doing?
Well, yeah, and that's sort of my fear that they're going down. We'll see, because, I think they could actually be in on a Marner if they really want to go pay big. It felt like they needed to win with this core to really fix their image in the NHL, and it has not gone well up to this point yet.
Yep.
But yeah, if you do sign a guy like Marner, all of a sudden, like maybe some of those no trade clauses in the middle of the year next year, if they're playing well,
they go, hey, we have a chance to
yeah, make adjust some money that with actually.
Marner.
Yeah, adjust that. I can go play with Tage, Dahlin, and Marner. And if Kulik and Peterka continue to come up,
that's also a different way to say your top three players.
Yeah.
Because who's the third best player on the Buffalo Sabres right now?
In terms of points, Peterka. Are we saying it's him?
I like JJ. Tuck is probably your other player that you nominate for this.
Yeah.
But I think it hits harder. Nothing against Peterka and Tuck. But it hits a lot harder if you say top three players are Tage, Dahlin, and Marner.
Yeah.
I'm saying them in the wrong order, but I don't care. Because I do think Rasmus Dahlin is absolutely, bar and away, the best player on the Buffalo Sabres, even if you sign Mitch Marner. But this allows you an opportunity to make a statement. And am I probably going to die on this hill? Yes. But it's probably the best idea that you have, because
mm-hmm.
Coolsey and I were talking about this. 40% of NHLers are from like the Southern Ontario region or Ontario itself.
Yeah.
If you want to come play in a city where you don't have to deal with the Toronto media and the media circus that is there in hockey Mecca, but you also don't want to be playing too far away from home, This should be an answer.
Yep.
But because they've lost 14 years in a row and missed the playoffs 14 years in a row, that recruiting tool is currently gone. But how do you land Jeff Skinner?
Overpay a little bit.
How do you land him, though, in a trade? He was excited because he was playing near home in Buffalo.
I didn't realize that many NHLers, by the way, were from Southern Ontario.
It's a good number.
That's a lot.
It's a healthy number.
That is a lot.
Why? Because Toronto.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's such a large populace. It is a hockey crazy place. Hamilton is also an incredible city with a lot of hockey knowledge and background. They just don't have a pro team.
That is such a large number, though. 40%, that is a huge number.
Kozio said it, not me. I don't know where he got the number from.
I believe it.
But Kozio also typically comes correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe it. It's just
Brian never talks out of the side of his mouth. I know that.
It's just, you sign a guy like Marner. And then we mentioned the goaltenders, too. I mean, if Levi can take like a solid step forward in the NHL next year, because I do think, I don't want to say next year's got to be the year, but you've had two dominant seasons in the AHL. It looks like they're going to go on a long Calder Cup playoff run this year if things go correctly. You know, if all of a sudden he's solid next year, then you mentioned their top three players. Actually, all of a sudden, the vibes don't feel that off. Yes, they're in, what are we now, 13, 14 straight years without making the playoffs?
It's going to be 14, yes.
It's going to be 14. Doesn't feel like that when if you're saying that, if that's the lineup.
Right.
It doesn't feel like that. But we got to get to there. 803-0550, the number to call. We haven't talked much football at all today. I do want to mention that, especially there was an Adam Schefter, not report, but I guess like kind of like a phrasing he said about where maybe the Cleveland Browns are going. Feels a little strange compared to what their quarterback situation is. Want to touch on that as well. If you want to join the conversation, again, number 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres football. UB women as well. Do want to touch on that before we run out of time here? Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Abdul Carter's going to go before the New England Patriots pick at four. It'd be an upset right now if Abdul Carter made his way to number four. I would handicap Abdul Carter right now as the likely pick at number two. Today, we reserve the right to change our mind. A lot of things change, but the way this is shaking out to me, it looks like he's tracking to be a Brown, and let's see how it plays out.
That is Adam Schefter from a few days ago talking about what he's hearing right now at the top of the draft. I find it interesting. It appears, and whoever he was talking to mentioned it's fluid. Appears he's hearing Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter going to the Browns at two, and that the draft really starts at number three with the New York Giants with Tennessee. It appears going to take Miami Hurricanes quarterback Cam Ward. We are 27 days, 8 hours, 28 minutes. 27 minutes and 58 seconds. Thanks, Tankathon, away from the first round of the NFL draft.
What are you counting?
And I'm interested in that move. If we're sitting here,
it makes it even funnier considering the money that they just gave to Myles Garrett.
See, that's why I like it. If we're sitting here, pick two happens and it's Abdul Carter. I think objectively, talent wise, not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
Yes.
And then if you tell me, ooh, Carter on one side, Myles Garrett on the other, you're sitting there going, oh, okay, yes. You tell me Kenny Pickett started quarterback, I'm like, oh. No, but what have we kept hearing about this draft class?
What if I instead said Kenny Pickett starting at quarterback? All I have to say is not Deshaun Watson.
Well, not Deshaun Watson, which is probably going to be better.
It hits harder.
It hits harder. I wish it was Jameis Winston. I had so much fun, but that's neither here nor there. You're right. It's better than Deshaun Watson, but I hear that, and my mind is immediately gone to. And this is the moment I saw this tweet. My mind immediately went to, I like this. It's different. It tells me two things. One, they're not going to force a quarterback. It appears. They're not going to force a quarterback. in a year that is a bad quarterback draft. Objectively, like that's what we keep hearing is that it's Cam Ward and then we don't know how far Shedeur Sanders could fall.
Watch them take Quinn Ewers in the second round.
Ewers, we'll see if Dart maybe falls. Dart, I don't think it's out of the first round, but all of a sudden if Shador's
I don't know how.
But if Shador's all of a sudden available in the 20s, he's going to be the second quarterback taken. That makes sense. So maybe it's Dart or you've mentioned Quinn Ewers. Or this also told me Kevin Stefanski has a lot of job security. Maybe both him and Andrew Berry. And so they're okay to go.
Half good, half bad.
Half good, half bad. But they're okay to be like, hey, take the best player available. Make this defense even better. Or make the pass rush even better. Because the defense, I think, overall was not great. But
how do you fix the woes of an ailing secondary?
Well, yeah. The defensive line has two of the best players in the league, maybe.
I started saying this is offseason with the Bills.
Yeah. And then they're like, and we'll go figure out quarterback next year. I mean, that's something most GMs and coaches sadly don't have, is that job security. It's why I think if you're the Giants, why do they go sign Russell Wilson? Well, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have basically been told, if we're not winning immediately, you're gone.
John Mara is getting way too involved with that team, and it's showing.
It's showing, and Hard Knocks did not help. I think that's a big reason why we're not getting an offseason one, is how badly that went for the Giants. But Cam Ward appears to be kind of the only good quarterback in this class or prospect that people can get excited about. He has, I think, elevated himself beyond some of these guys. But I kind of like the idea of Cleveland going, no, we are going to treat it like we are quote-unquote fans, which is we're not leaving. You know, one bad season is not going to send us down the drain. You know, they got to a playoff spot with Joe Flacco at quarterback. Did they make a bad move with Deshaun Watson? Hell yeah. But making sure that it's not the end-all, be-all situation, I think is how you maybe get better decisions out of your head coach and general manager, out of your coaches and your management, is to be like, hey, focus on this year of just getting more talent. We're not a good team. You know, a bad quarterback doesn't get you 3 wins. A bad team gets you 3 wins.
Yes.
And figure out then next year, when the quarterback class potentially looks much better, then you go strike. We see this all the time. The highest, you know, quarterback taken in the draft doesn't always end up playing the best, mainly because their team is terrible. They're going to the worst organization. So all of a sudden the Browns, let's take, you know, they take Abdul Carter, they fix their defense, what have you, and they win 7 games. But then you add a quarterback and it's like, okay, well now, especially we've seen these quarterbacks hit immediately. Not all of them, but many of them are hitting right away. They can play right away. More college snaps, more games. Then there are 10 wins, and then you're off to the races again. It's more uncomfortable. It's a little sloppy. You have now some skeletons in your closet, but it's probably better than just burning it all down because the owner got involved in a quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And maybe that's my biggest thing.
Honestly, they might still need to. That's the thing. Say you make these moves.
Yeah.
They still might have to do it anyway.
Oh, I have no issue. But then you can still take one in the first round. Until you got one, keep taking them.
Yeah.
That's always been my philosophy. Until you have a quarterback, don't stop.
And I do think that, really, the security does help in that sort of way because you don't have to make any desperate moves.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioning the Giants and everything like that. Already, the Steelers. Tomlin has job security because the Steelers do not fire coaches. However, man,
they're just the worst.
You want to talk about bungling the position so bad right now that all that's left is the diva?
Who may not play.
Oh, no. I'm not buying that for a second.
No, but it's still the fact that like you are just handcuffed by this guy who's 41.
Ready? I think Pittsburgh can get aggressive and say that like they actually like someone in this draft class. It would be genuinely hilarious if Pittsburgh drafts a quarterback in the first round again and says, no, Aaron, we're not waiting for you either.
Yeah, like we're done. I think we'll hear about that before the draft, though.
Yeah.
That'll be something where in the next 10 to 15 days, if he's still not signed, it's like Pittsburgh's moved on.
Yeah.
Rodgers is now going to have to wait for something to happen in camp for him to find a team. He's done.
Bye-bye.
Or he does retire. I'm with you. I think he wants to stay in the spotlight as long as possible.
Yeah, not buying that for a second.
But I've always liked the idea of Jackson Dart to the Steelers in a surprise first-round draft pick. If Shedeur were to go early and all of a sudden Dart's available for them, where are they picking? Let me make sure on this. They are picking at 21. Wouldn't actually be an awful spot for Dart either. You still get the fifth-year option.
And but also, if they need to move up, they can.
But also, you made the big move for DK Metcalf. Kind of surprising everybody. And you still have Pickens for now.
We'll see.
It's not a bad spot to put a young quarterback in with two really good receivers. Potentially, you know, the quote-unquote diva, both of them. But Dart likes to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And he's not terrible at it. I mean, he can send it deep.
It is going to matter. It's going to matter how does that top four shake out.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee, I think all signs are pointing to they're going to take Cam Ward.
Yep.
Cleveland, if we're going off this report, Abdul Carter. Then the draft starts at three. Now, are the Giants a team that's going to be, let's go get Travis Hunter? Or are they thinking, we just need talent. We just need anybody. We don't really have the luxury to have Hunter play at cornerback and take him at three overall and kind of at receiver. Let's go take Mason Graham or the best cornerback on the board, which I guess would also be Travis Hunter.
Yep.
I think the Patriots kind of believe that they're going to get Hunter.
They believe that they're going to get Hunter. It would be objectively hilarious then to see if the Giants do take Hunter.
And what do the Patriots do?
Lament that Joe Milton had a game against Buffalo.
He did.
Yeah. That would be my first reaction would be, oh, did Joe Milton really have to show off against Buffalo like that? Because we could have just had Hunter at one.
Yeah, we would have just taken the guy that we wanted to
take.
That would be very much how New England's offseason has
also
gone, though.
You mentioning how the Giants have been with, like, maybe they just take the best player available of a sort of sense. New England has ammunition that if they really feel threatened about Travis Hunter, they can do a Chicago Bears trade.
Oh, and just where they went and got Mitch, yeah.
And jump up to three, maybe even two. Just to get their guy, because they have two-thirds.
They have the ammunition to do it.
And that's probably the price you're paying to leapfrog one team.
I'm so curious to what the Giants and the Patriots kind of seems like you sort of know what they want to do, which is go get a guy like Hunter. That appears to be the feeling.
What's a third-round pick and what, like throw in a sixth or seventh?
Right.
To move up one or two spots.
Man, that's so curious. Or you could be the Giants also, though, could be looking at themselves like, we got to get better on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they try, and it's a bad tackle class. Let's try to take the best tackle, whether it be Will Campbell, who apparently had way bigger arms than everyone thought at the combine, because apparently measurements just are whatever. I don't know. They'll be at the Senior Bowl, their arms too short, Pro Bowl, arms too short, Pro Day. No issues, actually. I know.
It's pro day. It's the school.
But I'm like, then why are we doing this?
Yeah. But it's to try to up draft class. That's why.
Damn.
Up the draft status. That's why.
Yep.
That is literally why.
So yeah, maybe Will Campbell there for them. I like this draft a lot. I've mentioned this. I think the draft is going to play out perfectly for the Bills. I think they're going to have a lot of choices, whether it be D-tackle or cornerback.
Not just the Bills.
Seem to be the big ones.
It is going to be something that we did not see at all last year. There's going to be some aggression again.
I hope so. That was so boring last year.
It was boring once it started getting to everyone's just taking the best player available because all those teams went for quarterbacks. The top 12 was exciting in a sense of what the hell is going on. But then it turned into nobody wants to trade because the draft board is falling in everybody's favor to where they're like, no, I'm not going to move. Are you stupid?
Yeah, everyone took either you were taking a quarterback or just the best player available. The first defensive player doesn't go off the board until 15 with the Colts.
Which is disgusting.
I mean, if we're being honest, the most fun pick was probably Michael Penix at 8.
Yes.
Because you're like, excuse me?
And Atlanta did what now?
Yeah, that was probably like the most fun move, I guess.
Ultimately good for them because now it looks like it was probably the right decision all along because of what happened to Cousins, not because of Penix, but also just like, okay, yeah, maybe you did want to take a young guy so that you can set yourself up long-term at quarterback because Cousins is exactly what people were worried
Everyone
about.
Everyone was worried about.
Which is, he came off an Achilles tear and he's not very mobile in the first place and he's Kirk Cousins.
But I think this draft class could work out perfectly for the Bills in terms of who they want, who they can get, the position availability. I don't necessarily know about corner in round one. I constantly have an issue with that in terms of positional value. I have said it a lot. I'm usually somebody that would like to wait at corner, and you have two second-round picks, And I think a guy like Siobhan Revell, who I know Nate has been a big fan
of. Nate is pounding the table on that.
We were talking about him off air, and I'm like, I think he could be available in the second round. If you want to trade up, go get him. I think he's going to be there.
I also think that a player that Nate would also love, Benjamin Morrison, would probably be a round two grade.
Yeah. And that's not the Notre Dame bias either. That defense was incredible.
I even said to Nate on social media, I'm like, I will forgive your Notre Dame bias this year because the defense is legit.
Him and then Xavier Watts, safety.
The two of them. Those are targets.
That secondary was so good.
That's day two targets for me. Like, I'm going to be pretty much like, Nate, I may hate Notre Dame with every fiber of my being, but I'm going to drop my bias and I'm going to accept yours for the weekend because that defense is nasty.
Do you have a player in this draft where you've decided, not position, but a player where you're like, that might be the one guy I don't love if the Bills did take him? I have one guy.
I don't have a hate list yet, and I think that's going to come with time. Last year, for example, that was ironically Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
I also had that with Josh Allen back in the day. So I'm not a scout.
Right.
So I don't really worry about the hate picks anymore or the ones that I'm scared about because maybe I should because my hit rate is actually...
Your hit rate on the ones that you don't like is pretty good.
It's actually very good for jinxing power. So, yes, I do need to find guys that I don't like. So
Kenneth Grant, say it. Say it for the world. Say it for the world.
Say it for you.
Exactly. I'm the world. I know I'm not alone with Bills fans.
You're always the world to me, BB.
There we go. The one guy I don't totally love, and I feel bad because I kind of stopped doing my homework on him when I saw the comparison, Walter Nolan on Ole Miss. The one NFL comparison I keep seeing for him is Ed Oliver. And in my head, I'm like, that's not the guy they need. That is not the guy they need.
They don't need another three tech like that.
Yeah, and that's, again, why I bring up Grant a lot. Derek Harmon out of Oregon. Big space eater guy, over 300 pounds, 6'4", or 6'5". He was on a very good Oregon defense. Deion Walker, I think for a lot of people for a long time out of Kentucky, he though appears to just be big and not really very fast, which is sort of concerning. But Tylek Williams, a guy who actually his pro day didn't go great for Ohio State. I don't know if you saw, he fell during his 40, kind of had to walk off a little bit. Seems to be fine, but didn't look great. Alfred Collins, if you want to wait, out of Texas, 6'6", 330. So, I mean, there's a few guys they can go get. I look at guys like Walter Nolan, and I'd even say Shamar Stewart out of A&M, because Shamar Stewart
is a guy that I want.
Okay, is he?
He was someone that I started to target, but I'm like, is he going to go in like the teens, in the late teens?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, hey, maybe still go get him anyway. I don't know. You have ammunition to move around the board in your first two rounds, quite literally anywhere you want.
See, he's somebody I look at, and I'm like, I'm good. Great athlete, limited production. I don't love that.
I would want to look at the underlying numbers at that point to see what is working and what's not. Just to see like if the production hasn't been there, why?
Yeah.
So
I think it's and then you know we're talking all the line guys there, but even cornerbacks. We've mentioned Benjamin Morrison, Siobhan Revell, of course. I don't think Jahdae Barron is going to be there for Texas.
No.
I think he's going to be out. But Maxwell Harrison, who I know Pete Prisco was on with One Bills Live earlier this week, he really brought him up as a guy, great tackler, kind of always on the ball, would probably be really good for the Bills to be, you know, even maybe in the first round. Or, of course, I know somebody that's been mocked to the Bills a lot, Trey Amos from Ole Miss.
There's a lot.
Last year it felt like it needs to be a receiver and, oh, God, where are they going to fall? This year it feels like there's going to be a chock full of positions. There's just like three positions I don't want them to take.
There's also the defensive line and the defensive tackle in particular is so interesting this year that there's even a guy that's probably an undrafted free agent that people would want to look at, and that's Florida's Desmond Watson.
I was waiting for you to bring him up.
Oh, my God.
400 pounds. What is he, 6'3"?
6'6".
Oh,
464.
Wow. He's just going to be a guy, sixth round.
What did he end up running at the 5'8"? 5'8"6 at the 40. You had something about this. You had fun with numbers. What that would correlate to.
So I don't know if the math is correct, because someone else on Twitter already did it. Oh, the post is deleted.
I think the math was wrong.
Basically, the guy did the math that like somehow you could figure out the kinetic energy of that guy running a 5'8"6 at 464 pounds could equate to like a 240-pound linebacker running a 40-yard dash in like 3 seconds.
But also, I hear kinetic force and I get excited.
Yeah, like think about how big that guy is and how fast he's going. Like,
that's terrifying.
Yeah, what could he run through?
Ow.
You gonna tush push through that?
Yeah.
Well, so and on that, too, there's kind of rumblings. Diana Rossini, we got to take a break here in a second, but Diana Rossini reported today, nothing official, but there's maybe some rumblings that
it's actually
next week
steam.
We might get some steam here of it, maybe the tush-push getting.
Be interesting to talk to Sal and see what he's hearing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that because, look, there's going to be also some stuff for the kickoff. I don't know if you saw moving the touchback to the 35-yard line is up for vote.
But also, one last thing on
but Des, on him, if it doesn't
Des
get,
Watson?
Yeah.
He also had a 25-inch vertical at 464 pounds.
Yeah, it appeared Florida was like, you're here for short yardage situations.
You are
and
here
to be fair, the NFL
people.
Probably would be the same thing, which is you're space eater. You're here to stop the other big guys.
Ready? I have a run-heavy team. You're on my practice squad. You're in elevation that day.
Yeah.
That's quite frankly what I would say.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to be a quick final segment when we come back. Do want to touch on UB women as they advance in the NIT. We'll do it after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging out with you today. We'll also be with you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week.
So hope you keep enjoying us.
Do have two quick notes here. One, UB Women's Basketball won their round of 16 NIT matchup last night against Southern Indiana, 76-64. That means they are playing Sunday, 2 p.m. over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, at home against Rutgers. I think they still are saying that they're waiting on ticket information, but that should be coming out here
right
pretty soon. That's something I've been thinking about as well, potentially going. I've been meaning to go to a game.
Jump
That'd be perfect
it.
To go to that. And then also, it was opening day yesterday for Major League Baseball for the most part. I know the Dodgers and the Cubs played in Japan.
Yes.
I don't care. It was opening day yesterday. Today is the Bison's opening day. The weather seems to be a little shaky. A
little questionable,
good
but
for right now.
I got good news for you. Bison's released their starting lineup for today.
Yes, they are taking on Rochester at Salem Field, 2 o'clock. That is also going to be on the Bet 1520 if you cannot attend today's game. Should be a lot of fun. I watched a good bit of baseball yesterday. I watched the Yankees, a little bit of the Mets, and then college basketball kind of started up. The Angels, game one.
Magnet
against
schedule giveaway, by the way, down at the Swan Street Gate for Bison.
That's exciting. Real quick on the Angels, because I know many want to laugh at me.
I'll do it right now.
0-1! On the season, 11 of the last 12 years, you've lost an opening day, and you do so against projected one of the worst White Sox teams ever. Game one, you had positional players pitching before the game ended. Love that for all involved. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you. Love that for all involved. I cannot wait to give up on this team by June.
Last 10 seconds, I'm going to say boiler up. Let's go, Purdue.
Have a great rest of your day, everyone. This is WGR.